Okay, the Moisai, today's daf is daf Chav Gimel. We're holding Chav Beis, Amud Beis, third line from the bottom of the Amud. And the Gemara is continuing to explain and explicate all of the 11 different malos that we had in our Mishnah that Kodesh has over Truma. And the next malo that we list in the Mishnah was Anoisis HaMedris. If a person is carrying a medris in one hand, Rashi gives the example that he's holding on to the min'o, to shoes of a Zov, which have a tin of Tumas Medris. He can hold in his other hand a bottle or a barrel of Truma, but don't put in the other hand a bottle or a barrel of Kodesh. Why is there this malach? Now, in the past, the malach that we've been speaking about was because the Chachomim had a concern. For instance, the first case of Kli B'Toich Kli, there was concern about either chatzitza, or maybe you're going to be toivel a kli, where you won't have the shofar sanoi. So this is a real, real concern the Chum had. Why didn't they go and say, we have the same concern the Gabi Truma, because the Chaverim are going to be makvid, so why aren't they going to be makvid the Gabi Kodesh? They will be. We're afraid about the Maris Ayin. How come not worried about Maris Ayin the Gabi Truma? Because we can always give the Truma over to another Amoritz who happens to be a Kohen. But what about Kodesh? Why can't we do the same? No, because Kodesh goes to one stop. It goes into the base of Midrash. And if we're not going to take it, it'll be Ava. No, so there'll be a little Ava. They'll be upset. What do you mean? They might go and build their own base of Midrash, their own Bama, etc., etc., like we learned yesterday in the Gemara. But now the next case of the Mishnah, well, we had a middle case which had to do with the base of Tzvita, that if you have the Mashkim, the Acharayim, again, that was a Din Chachomim, Mishamayonos. The next case has nothing to do with a Gezerah per se, but rather Chachomim made a Takana because of a Master Shehoye. And apparently this Master Shehoye had a major impact on that door, that people felt, we got to make a Takana. And because it wasn't because of the Gzeira that we were concerned that people will learn and people will this and that, well, because of Masa Shehoye, our Gemara will tell us, since the original Masa Shehoye involved Kodesh, when the Chacham made this Mala, they only made it by Kodesh and not by Truma. And we'll see, the Gemara will explain. Kodesh my time alive. Why can't you go and hold on to a medicine in one hand and Kodesh in the other hand? Of course, making sure that the two hands shouldn't meet, that you shouldn't have a problem. Why doesn't the wine become tummy just by the fact that I'm holding on to the barrel of wine? Because it's talking about that the barrel of wine was made out of klicheres. Klicheres is not metame migabo, you said there's no issue. So what's the problem with Kodesh? So tomorrow my time alone, Mishim Maaseh Shehoyah, Yom Rav Yonah Meshmut, Maaseh B'Yechot Shehoyah, Ma'avir Chavishol Yayin Kodesh, Mimokoyim Len Mokoyim. There was a person that was transporting a Chavishol Yayin, a big barrel of wine. The wine inside was Kodesh wine, meaning it was done with all the chumras of Kodesh, and it was going to be used for Kodesh in the Beit HaMikdash for Nisach HaYayim. He was transporting it. V'nifstika ritzua shel sandalei. And unfortunately, whilst he was walking, one of his shoelaces tore off. Was nifsak. Okay, so what do you do now? Unatala, he picked it up. V'nicha al pi chavis, and he put it on top of the chavis. This is a machlek, this is a mafoshim. What did he put on the chavis? Did he take the ritzua, the shoelace, and put on the chavis? Or did he take the shoe and put it on the chavis?
And himself, was it that was tamei tumas medras, this person?
Obviously, because otherwise it wouldn't be a medras problem.
And he's carrying chavis of yayin kodesh.
Let's go back to the Russian.
I'm just trying to get the example.
You're asking a question. What did the Mishnah, what did Mora say? What did it say?
Kodesh.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Now you're asking whether that person was a Zov or not. Look at the top, Rashi. That shoe was Medes HaZov, meaning he was the Zov. And I mean, it's theoretically possible that he wasn't the Zov.
Right,
that
he's carrying a shoe.
But it doesn't make a difference. The point is, he wasn't carrying it, he was wearing it. And right. While he was wearing it, unfortunately, the shoelace, I'm sure this never happened to you, but it has happened to me in the past. maybe not in the last couple of years, but it does happen. So what happened? It was a medrash zav. Unatol b'yana, he took it in his hand, and now he's walking. He's probably being careful that the shoe shouldn't fall off, and at the same time, he continues to hold on to this barrel of wine, and he's also holding on to the ritzua. According to our lashon haGemara, unatol, he took the ritzua. It was a bit of a balancing act. So you know what he did? He took the ritzua and he put it on top of the chavis. Now, although the Gemara didn't tell us until now, the chavis apparently was partially open. And because it was partially open, that ritzua didn't stay for a long time on top of the cover of the chavis, but rather, the nafla of the avir chavis, it fell into the avir chavis. And what happened now? Since that was a medrash, we're not talking about that the person put his hand in. We're talking about that the medrash itself went into the chavis. The medrash has a din of an avatumah. Since it's going into the kli, let's assume it was a kli cheres, it's going to be metamin now, mitoy choy, and now the whole kli is going to become tameh, it's going to become a rishon. The rishon is touching all of the kodesh wine, it's all going to become shiny. Oh, he's a tana shina masa, that now it all became tameh. The nitmis, it all became tummy. Toisis on the top talks about the fact that since it's just a ritzua is l'chayra not a kli. And for purposes of tumah v'tahara, you have to have an odom or kalim or oichlun or mashkin. Ritzua is not a kli.
It's a shever kli.
It's not even a shever kli. It's just a piece of rope or it's just a piece of
leather,
or my I don't have such fancy shoelaces. Mine are just made out of cotton or wool or whatever they're made out of.
I think in this case, there was a strap from the sandal, might not have been, so it could be leather, no?
Okay, so that's a very good question. So the question that you are raising, let's look at the top, Toises. You're right, the word ritzua doesn't mean a shoelace. Thank you.
The Gaza Strip. Ariel,
what would we do without you? Please come more often.
Yeah, probably make a lot more headwear.
That may be. But we're talking about footwear, not headwear. So we have to make a footwear here. So anyway, so the top, Toises says, Avagav de Gabi Tumak Siv Kli. Right, it's so love Kli. It's Nishka Kli. How do I know? Sharina Leila Tautol Berakat Kshar. We have a Mishnah tomorrow over there in Shabbos. You can't go in the garage. You can't go and wear it. It's not considered clean. And talk about Ifsikle Tsuba Sandala, etc., etc. Al Malav Manahu. So you see, it's not a clean. Torah Lameima. This is the first of the narrow lines. Kigoin Shinishtair Bahachritsua, the Ikamana, the Hedjit Yochel Achzirai. So what Toisa says, it's talking about that the Ritsua retained a little bit of the shoe itself. In other words, with the strap of the shoe came a little bit of the shoe. Izdach, as you said, like a shever kli, it's part of the kli. Izdach yashtikol kli, and therefore that's the reason why it is considered to be a kli for our purposes. Please don't jump. And therefore it has the status of a kli, and therefore it can be matam medrash. However, Toisa brings to you shalmi matzino v'nifsika sandalai. Not that nifsika ritzua shalat sandalai, but the sandal itself got a tear in it, and therefore instead of wearing it, he started holding it. He put it on top of the chavius, and the sandal fell into the chavius. Boy, I wouldn't want to drink from that wine. That doesn't say necessarily went into the wine, at least it went into the oven. Maybe he was able to quickly extricate it before it got into it. Anyway, that doesn't make a difference. But the point is, because we're talking about a sandal, the Talmud Kodesh Yerushalmi, then that sandal certainly had a din of medrash. It is a kli, and it fell into the chavius, and therefore it was metamiyat, the nitmus. Therefore the Chacham say, this was such a terrible event that happened. Oh, he says, Shah Omru, at least it's a medrash. If you're holding on to a medrash in one hand, you're holding on to your ritzua, you're holding on, in our case, to the minnow. No, you see, it's not true, but the true meaning don't carry. Avaloi es a koidish, but don't carry koidish. Freiti Mora, I don't understand. If you're concerned about that somehow this person is going to try to combine both things into one hand, right? If you've ever walked in the street and you're holding two bags, sometimes one bag is heavier than the other, so you put them both in one hand and you split up into two hands. So you have the minnow, and for some reason it was uncomfortable holding the minnowlayim and holding the barrel, so he's going to put the minnow perhaps on top of the barrel, and then it's going to go and fall into the barrel. This is unconstitutional. See, what is it? The same thing applies to truma, the same chshash. So why does the Mishnah say only by Kodesh and not by Truah? So now the Gemara is going to explain, as we'll see in a moment, that Rav Chanan ibn Akavi said that whenever the Chum make these types of takonis, which not not really based on a chashash that always that perhaps the masses are going to mimic this type of situation, and Yanko's going to have a problem, and Beryl's going to have a problem, so we have to make a takana. But because it was a masa shahaya, and apparently this was a sensational story of some sort, where the Chacham said, you know what, from now on, be more careful. Don't hold minalayim at the same time that you're holding the chavyas, because you might have a problem. Be matamit. Always, if you want to go and carry them, give it to somebody else. Give somebody else the shoes, and you hold on to the barrel. You hold on to the shoes and give somebody else the barrel. But don't do the two together at one time because of that Master Shoy. But since that Master Shoy was talking about Kodesh, they were only attacking this thing by Kodesh and not by Truma. Yes, Barry, you have a question.
What bothers me is that if the person is himself the Zav, he's an Avatuma, his shoes are Avatuma. Yeah. He's carrying an open barrel or open container of something vulnerable to become Tamei, whether Kodesh or Truma.
Can I stop you there? The case over there was Nitzik HaRetush Vasandlai. Our Mar is talking about that he was holding Menelai. It doesn't have to be that it was his. He could have been holding Yankel's barrel.
Okay, so
he himself is not Tamei.
Okay, fine. So we'll roll back to that. He himself is not Tamei. He's carrying an Avatuma,
right,
which, by the way, is Metamei him, right? He's holding an Avatuma. And he's carrying an open container of something susceptible to Tumah. We have a principle of Tumas Heses. When I transport or move or displace something with the weight of something, I metame it. If he's carrying it and it's open, I thought originally, well, if it's sealed, maybe it's not susceptible to Tumas Heses.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Why isn't it Tumas Tumas Heses? Why is this even a possibility if something is...
Are you sure that there's a Tumas Masa, Tumas Heses over here?
I'm not sure. I'm wondering. No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but I'm wondering.
It sounds.
Something sounds off in the fact pattern. I'm raising it as a question. I don't know. I'm wondering because the way the Gemara is explaining the details, it doesn't fit with my poor understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, you have a very rich understanding. I'll have you understand as well as you do. But the point is, I don't think that there's a Hesus issue over here by the fact that the Gemara didn't point that out. So, as you know, Hesus is not every single Tumas Heses, some yes, some not, Maga, Masa, every one of them is different. So I don't know the Kolom of Heses when it comes to the case of Zav or the Medras of a Zav, so I couldn't tell you. It sounds like that there is no Heses problem, otherwise you're right. But the Shiloh over here is whether or not this person who's carrying the Midalayim on the one hand, that he's carrying the barrel on the other hand, he has to be concerned that the Minalayim may fall into the Toich, and therefore it's going to become Tamei. Is this a realistic, real chashash? How many people do something like that? It doesn't sound like this was something that they were really concerned about, a real chashash, but because of this Masa Shehoya, which apparently was a sensational story, probably everybody, there was big headlines in the papers, that day they didn't have yayin for the Nisach Yayin, they had to immediately rush back to the presses to go and get new wine, and blah, 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 because the carrier, by mistake, fell in, and so therefore they said, from now on, let's stop this, never have these types of shaylas. If you want to go and carry medras, because in diaper, don't carry the wine. If you want to carry wine, don't carry medras. Yes.
What I have difficulty with is that a person is carrying one, the sandals, and in the other hand is carrying the chavis. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a person able to carry a chavis in one hand.
It may have a handle. It may not be a large one. It may be a small barrel. It may be the size of that.
A barrel is a barrel.
There might be a chavis.
Yeah. And it could be that it was half empty. It doesn't say that.
Right. All right. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a 50-gallon drum.
It could be the size of a thermos. It could be the size of a thermos.
Jerry can.
You're saying it could be the size of the thermos there.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way,
you have this over a barrel.
I don't know if
Hesus
would apply to
a Klicheris. I'm wondering. It's bothering me. It's so open Klicheris. I thought it's sealed. It's not a problem.
Klicheris is a special.
Right. Special category and stuff. I know. I'm pondering it. I'm wondering.
Maybe it's insulated.
Okay. I'm not challenging. I'm really asking.
Hesus means that most tumas you have a tumas maga. Means did you touch it? The question is, what happens if you move it? Moving without touching. So you're saying to yourself, how can you go move something without touching it? The Gemara always gives an example. For instance, if you have scales like they have in the good old days, where you put fruit in one and you put a weight in the other one. So what happens if you went and you put, for instance, a Dover Torah in one side and you put a Dover Tum in the other side? So the Dover Tum can go and outweigh the Dovah Torah, and so therefore, or vice versa, the Dovah Torah can outweigh the Dovah Tameh, and therefore you are moving it without touching it. You put it on one side, you put it on the other, it was up, it was down.
Titatatar.
So that's what it has. In broader terms, it's called Masa, which means carrying, and Hesus is kind of a subset of Masa. And anytime people talk about Hesus, I find it to be a very moving experience, and so let's try to move on.
So even Masa is forget Hesus. I mean,
yeah, and I'm saying it's the same question. If there's Masa, there's Hesus. If no, Hesus,
okay,
Masa. Okay. Zogi Morvaitim. E Hachi Morav. Trumanami. Why don't we say that the same should apply to Trum? Because the very same chash, not really chash, but the possibility of maybe part of the medrus going and touching the inside of the klicheris and maybe even touching the wine. What difference does it make whether it's Kodesh wine, whether it's Truma wine? The exact same issue arises. Says more because it goes to Rebchanan Menachavi. The Amar Le'asru Ella Biyardin Umesvino Kamasish Oya. Rebchanan Menachavi says on the story which we're going to learn in the next moment that it only applies exactly on the fact pattern that it was years ago. Mahi, what is this all about? The sign you have in the price. Lo yisa odem mechatos ve'efer chatos ve'aviram biyarden ubesvino v'lo yamoid betzad zeh ve'yisrkim betzad acher v'lo yishitim al pri hamoyim v'lo yirkav al gabi behema v'lo al gabi chaveroi elin kei v'yiraglev noigoy v'karga avlo mavir na gabi nesher ha'gesher v'ein lechoshish echer v'yarden v'yechad shahar na'os. What is this all about? What are you talking about? So we're going to see in another moment or two that Chanani ben Akavi is going to tell us what the Masa was. There was a story. In fact, we can go and skip two lines ahead where the Gemara says a Kamasa Shehoyah, and then we're going to come back once again. What's this Kamasa Shehoyah? Says the Gemara, my Masa Shehoyah, the Gemara, you don't know Masa Miyodim Echad Shehoyah Mavir Mechatos V'Efer Chatos Bayardei Ubesvino. There was a town somewhere that needed Mechatos, because a lot of the people in the town unfortunately became Tomei Tumas Mes, and they said instead of all of them going to Yerushalayim or somewhere else, we're going to have a Shliach Meyuchad who's going to go and carry Mechatos ve'Eferchatos. Eferchatos is the ashes, the Mechatos is the water in which you put the ash, and he's carrying those to the other town. That town was on the other side of the Jordan River, so he was carrying it on the Yarden, in the Jordan River. He wasn't swimming, but he was on the sea. He was on a boat and carrying the two peklech. And the nimtzak zayis mez tachav bechakis v'shal svina. At some point in time, they realized, there between a couple of the boards on the bottom of the boat is nebuch a kazayis min emez. And a kazayis min emez, unfortunately, is metame. It's even metame, not only the magal mamasa, but even the ayel. And therefore, b'chakis v'shal. So what happened? So now, when he gets off the boat, he realizes that at some time during this voyage, which may have been a 5-minute voyage or a 5-hour voyage, but whatever it was, at some point he walked over that Kazayis Menemes, and he says, oh no, that means not only my tummy to mess, but also the Ifrachatis and the Mechatis, they're all worthless now because they're all tummy to mess. So what are we going to do? And therefore, at that time they said, a person should not carry mechatas, and go over the Jordan River, v'svina, on a boat. The Chanani ben Akavia says that this takona that they made was restricted to the fact pattern of the original case. That original individual, Yankel Smith, went on to the boat, and he was carrying mechatas, evrachatas, over the Jordan River, and unfortunately there was this Zayis Min HaMes, and said, you know, from now on, if you're taking Mechatas for Evachatas from one place to the other, don't take it on the Yarden River, and don't take it Besvina in a boat. That's Reb Chanani ben Akavi. However, the Tanakama that we went through very quickly expanded upon this and said, not only are you not allowed to go and carry it on a boat, but what happens if you are able to go and put it, let's say you are at one point of the river where it's not that far one from the other, and you have a good pitching arm. What happens if I go and pitch and throw the Efer Chatas or the Mechatas from one side of the river to the other side of the river? Says the Tanakama, no good, don't do it. What happens if I want to go and throw it not over the Jordan River, I want to throw it over another river somewhere? No good. Why? What's the problem? The problem is that just like over there the Chacham said, that in that original Maaseh Shehayah, a person was crossing the river from one side to the other, and when he's crossing the river, he didn't have his feet on terra firma, on the ground. He was on the ground of the Sina, but not on the ground of planet Earth. Ah, just like over there, what happened was, unfortunately, the Mechatas and Evachatas became Dome when he was carrying it over the water. So not only when you're carrying it in a Sina, even if you're carrying it by throwing it to the other side, or for that matter, what happens if you're able to go and put it into a little float, and you want to go and have it swim across, float across from one side of the river to the other side of the river, also no good. And not only the Jordan River, but even the Hudson River, or any other river that exists anywhere. So let's go back again to the Tanakhama, the Sanya. A person shouldn't go and carry Evachatas Mechatas, the Aviran, either the Yardin or the Svina. That's the original case that happened to Maaseh Shehayah. But not only that, you want to go and throw it, Yanko to Beryl, to the other side, don't do that. Yishitim is the lotion of floating or swimming. Don't allow it to swim or float from one side to the other. Also don't allow for the Mechatas or Evachatas to be carried on the back of an animal, or the back of your chaver, meaning, in the case of the behemoth, the person is riding on the behemoth itself, obviously his feet are above ground. That is similar in a sense to the case of the Mechatas or Evachatas, which was on the Svina. Because just like in the Svina, Rashi says, the Svina, by definition, travels in the air space. It doesn't travel on planet Earth. It is on the Earth, but of course it's over the water. Here too, when you are riding on the behemoth, and you're carrying the Mechatas in your hands, on your back, whatever, you also, you don't have your feet on the ground. So therefore it's similar to a Svina. Yeah, you don't believe me, so let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi is the first of the narrow lines, lo yama b'tzadzeh shel nohar, and throw it. And if you're going on the back of an animal, el kei ragel megit b'kaka, mishem maaseh shehayah b'svina k'vekamon, v'chol svinim haleches ba'avir. All svinas travel in the air. Obviously, we don't mean that it's not a helicopter, it's not a matos, it's not a jet, it's not an airplane. What we mean to say is, but it's not on the ground, it's not on the surface. It's on the water. So in that sense, it's traveling in the air. The Gozer of the Avir is called, therefore, they said any type of Avir. So if you happen to be riding in the back of an animal, and you're holding out the Mechatas, and your feet are not on the ground, no good. If you're going piggyback on your Chaver, and you're holding on to the Mechatas and Evachatas, if you happen to have long legs, and you're schlepping your legs on the ground, that's okay. However, if you are aloft in the airspace, so then it just becomes similar to being on the back of a behemoth, or being on a Sina, that you're in the Avir. But what you can do, says the Braisa, says the Tanakhama, Abmavino Gabi Hagesha, you want to go and take this water, this Mechatas and Evachatas, to the other side of the river, so you're already disqualified. I can't go and put it on a Sina. I can't go on the back of an animal. I can't throw it. I can't let it flow. How am I ever going to get to Evachatas, to the other side? Oh, you walk. Mavino Gabi Gesher. I'm going over the water. Now, Gesher is also considered to be terra firma. It's considered to be ground. I'm walking on the ground. It's a Gesher, even though it's aloft. But nevertheless, it's Mechubah Karka from both sides. So it's considered to be part of the Karka. And then that's okay. The Gesher is okay. And the halacha applies not only to Yardin, but also to Sha'an Horus. Any type of river, any type of, I don't know, maybe there's a minimum shear, at least a revius of water. But it doesn't have to be the Yardin, it can be any river. And again, also it's going to be exactly like the original case. And the Mechatas and Evachatas became Tamei. Exactly on all fours, exactly like that case. So therefore, coming back to our Mishnah now, why were the Goyzer only in the person who's carrying the medrash in one hand and he's carrying a barrel of Kodesh in the other hand? Why don't we talk about even a barrel of Truma, on the other hand, there's really no difference. If I'm worried about that the medrash is going to fall into the airspace of the barrel, then it makes absolutely no difference whether you're talking about a truma barrel or you're talking about a kodesh barrel. Anymore, because our mishnah going like Reb Chanan Minakavia, it's exactly on all fours, exactly like the original story. We don't go beyond kodesh, even though al pi svara there's no difference. But kimas shayim. And now the Gemara asks Iboilu, and to me this Gemara is a little bit difficult to understand, counterintuitive, etc., ironic, because we just kept on saying now it's got to be kimas shayim, kimas shayim. And now the Gemara is asking three questions. What happens if it's not kimas shayim? What would be the difference? Sandal Tameh is, of course, the Isser of our Mishnah.
Right.
Not so much the Isser, it's
the danger.
Yeah, the danger that we're concerned about, the Mal of the Kodesh. What happens if instead of carrying a Sandal Tameh, he carried a Sandal Tohar Mal? He's holding on to his shoes or somebody else's shoes, which happen to be Tohirim. So what's the problem? Because if you're going to go and carry this time Sandal Tohar, next time you're going to go and carry Sandal Tameh, and therefore maybe we should be Goyzer. L'choy, we already answered, it's got to be exactly Kamasa Shohoyer. And the Masa Shohoyer was Sandal Tameh. So we have to understand when we say Kamasa Shohoyer, it can't be Mamish Kamasa Shohoyer, because the original person, the Masa Shohoyer, his name was Yankel Smith. And the new guy that's carrying it is Beryl Jones. Oh, Masa Shohoyer is not the same guy. And Yankel Smith was wearing green hosen, it means a green pants. What happens if I'm wearing blue pants? So obviously, some of the details which are not relevant can be modified. Exactly. So the question is, how far do we go with this Kamasa Shaya? The one wants to say, once you're telling me that the Chashash is a Sandal Tameh, maybe Sandal Tameh too, maybe. Now, similarly, we're talking about Chavis Psucha. That's where the concern was. It was open.
Yes.
Chavis Tuma. Right. Did they also extend the Chavis Tuma? The Gemara is not pushing these two shailos, and the Gemara leaves them unanswered. However, there's a third shailo of Vinasamal. Yes, don't do it. The Mishnah says, you know, he says, in Medrash, don't carry the Kodesh. What happens if you did carry the Kodesh? And you were careful, and it didn't go one into the other, and Baruch Hashem, Medrash Mikan, Barrel Mikan, and never the twain shall meet. What's Bidiyevin, what's Nalav? Rabbi Omerim of Vinasamal, Tomei, just by violating this halacha, it's already Tomei, even though I know it didn't Tomei, it's Tomei. Zeir Omar, Olav and Asa, Tohar, that if in fact you were over and you did carry it,
but it through.
You went over the on the Svina and the Yardin and you were careful, there was no mess, and Baruch Hashem, everything was great, or really probably in our case, where you have the person who's carrying the medrash on one side, the barrel on the other, Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. In fact, I have a YouTube from the first moment he left his home till I got to the other side, security cameras, not once did the one hand get close to the other hand, they were miles apart. So what's it then? So in such a case, Zayda says that it's tough. So we have a machloikis b'diavad, if he was careful, do I still say that it's tummy or not?
He wasn't the medrash, but it applies.
He was carrying.
He was carrying.
That's what I said when we started. Yeah. I agree with you. So Gemara right to Kevin Gemara b'tahara v'chulei. What does it say in our Mishnah? Open us in the previous one. No problem. Your person just got brand new something or other in the... today it doesn't come in the mail anymore. Today you get it by Amazon or Chweiss or other names. I'm not so up to date on these things. But anyway, you got a Kli Nigmar, and there's on the... You open up the box, and there's Ashkocha of the Bedatz, and says on it that these Kalim were Nigmar and Tahara Kushe B'Torah. Have a good Shabbos. Have a good Chodesh. I'll see you next Sunday morning. If not soon.
Yes.
Good. So, you have Kelim Nigmar and Tahara. Baruch Hashem, it's Torah. So I can use these Kelim without asking any questions for Truma purposes. But I cannot use it for Chodesh unless I toivel it yet again in the Mikvah. Okay, that's what you take in the Mishnah. Pray to Nigmar. Kelim Nigmar and Tahara. I want to first understand the background. What are the details of the case? The Gemrinu Man. Who's the one that finished off these Kelim B'Tahar? In other words, you could be talking about a beggar that was just woven, or you could be talking about a Kli that was fashioned and manufactured in a factory or by individuals, whatever it was. And you're saying it was completed, B'Tahara, no concerns whatsoever. There was no Zov around, and no Zov, and no Nidra, and no Metzoyra, and no Nevela, and no Dead Sheretz. It was B'Tahar. Oh, it's the Gemrinu Man. Who's the one that finished it off? Obviously, there has to be some hand of a human being. Maybe today everything could be done by
robots,
by the factory, by the machines. Right. But at least at one time, he actually had human beings that did work. So the Gamrinu man. So who's the one who finished it? Zok Tiyamara. Elaine the Gamrinu Chover. Chover being a fine attire. He is makpid and tumah b'tahari. He knows all the halachas. So I'm going to tell you what I have to tell you it for. You told me that Chover completed it. He put his stempel on the stamp saying it's kushi b'tur. So what do you have to go and tell you? It means that Amoritz finished it over. Therefore, I'm concerned about the Mubatar. So for Gemara, Nigmaranu, Nigmarin, Betahara Karulai. Karilahu, the Mishnah uses the expression, these are king of Nigmarin Betahara. If it's done by an Amoritz, by definition, it does not have a chazaka of Tahara, because Amoratzim either didn't know the halacha or they weren't makbid on the halacha. And even if you told them the halacha, he says, mine is Torah, yours is Tommy. Don't tell me any rules and regulations. I know better than you. Like we had in the Gemara and the Rashi yesterday. So anyway, so the point is, that's not called the Gemara B'Tahara. Umar Bar Rabba Bar Shila, Umar Masna Umar Shmuel. The only Gemrinu Chavre. That's the pshat of the Gemara B'Tahara. A Chavre did it. So what's the Shaila? The Amoritz. We're afraid that an Amoritz was there in the factory. Etzuch Kedrait, he was around. And maybe whilst he was talking, whilst he was walking, by accident, some saliva, some spittle went out of his mouth. And that Amoritz has the status like a Zav, even if he's not a confirmed Zav, but all Amoratzim were
a Cheska
Zav, because we're assuming that he didn't care, and he didn't go to the mikvah, he doesn't know, etc. And therefore, I have to worry about that sinura, that spittle that fell out of the Zav, the Amoritz, and that's why I have a problem with these Kedim. Okay, so we're not finished yet. The Nafalainis, when did that spittle fall from the Amoritz's mouth on the Kli? Even Mekamdulim, when he didn't tell me before it was finished, Halamanu, it's a Golmei Kli, and Golmei Kli are not susceptible, not Mekamdul Toma. Ali, you're talking about Basa de Gamre, once we were finished and we molded it and finished and it's now a complete Kli, since the Chover is in charge, Mrs. Orgo, obviously he was careful.
Right.
He probably said, Ola Amorat. Hamaratzaros, get out of here! Don't even get close. So, what's the shaila? Every mother only mekame the gomer. It's talking about that the amaratz gidrai terim and arim in the factory before they finish the gemar kli. And the problem is the dilma of the inna de gomer. An hour later, half an hour later, whenever they finish the kli, adayin lachehi, the spittle from an hour ago was still moist. And if it's still moist, it is mitame. Like it says in the pasuk, v'chiyorik hazov b'tor. If a zov goes and spits out on a Torah-tika person, he becomes tame. He has to go into the mikvah. So therefore, that was the story. So had this happened 6 hours ago, and by the time we're finished with the kli, it already dried out. Rashi says dry saliva is not mitame. However, wet saliva is mitame. So even though it was gamrinu b'tahara at the moment of finishing the kli and putting on the finishing touches, there was no amoritz within Talmud Amis or even within a mile. But since he had been there half an hour ago, and maybe there was some spittle, because of that I have a chashash, therefore by koydish go and toilet. By trum I'm not concerned, but by koydish I am concerned. That's the end of this first article. I'm sorry?
It seems a little bit far-fetched.
It's again a mala of the Chachamim. That's the time of Chazal and the time of the Beis Hamikdash. They want everything to be Kedusha v'Tahara, and therefore they said, be careful on this, be careful on that. All of these different Chashashas and Zeiris, etc. Okay, you can put two dots over here. And now the Gemara is Madaik. It says in our Mishnah, the Kelim, the Gemara v'Tahara, for Kodesh Bo'i Chvila. L'choyre, it should say not only boy tvila, but tvila and herav shamish. Is mashu from our Mishnah that it does not require herav shamish, it only requires tvila, and then a tvil yom can already be used even for kodesh. So by the fact that it says the Mishnah tvila in, it sounds like only tvila, and herav shamish loy. Otherwise the Mishnah would go one step further. Rashi doesn't comment, but if you see the middle toises, tvila and herav shamish loy, midloitana behadya. It should have said Befeirish. It requires Tevila mid Harav Shemesh. Since it didn't say, we assume it only needs Tevila and nothing more.
I would think the opposite. It says Tevila, of course it needs Harav Shemesh. When does Tevila not need Harav Shemesh? Tevila and well, of course.
If you're totaling it just for the kingdom of Midian, purpose.
Well, so it says for Chulin, it's for Kodesh. I mean, for anything, right, anything like this, I would say. I thought it was.
But there's this case.
I guess Toysen disagrees.
Okay.
So if it only says Tzviva, it doesn't require Harav Shamash. Remember, we're not talking about, as Brother Shai said so beautifully a moment ago, with articulately with great erudition, it sounds a little remote, a little far-fetched, this whole thing. So therefore, the maximum the Chum said was, go toivel it up, go Erev Shemesh. The Chum said, azui vayt shinisht. So says the Gemara, what's the din? Now, to be in Erev Shemesh light. So based on that, so the Gemara, Masis and Lech Reb Lezer, it sounds like that a Mishnah does not shtim with Reb Lezer. Who is Reb Lezer? Did not. We have to transport and we have to store the Efer Chatas in some sort of kli. So what did they do? They took a Shveferes. Shveferes is like a long tube, and Chatacha, and they cut it to make an opening to be able to insert in it Efer Parah, and presumably they would seal it, and then they would store it or transport it to somewhere else. So they cut it for Chatas, means like for the Chatas of Parah Duma. We don't mean the carbon Chatas in Beis Mikdash. Okay, so now you have the Shveferes, you cut it, and you're ready to put the Efer Parah in. What do I do? Reb Lezer Omer, Yitmo Miyad. Before you put the Efer Parah in, toivel it in the mikvah. Toivel it first in the mikvah. Reb Yeshua Omer, it's not enough to toivel it. Yitam of Yachin Yitpo. First be Matamit, go and take a sheretz or something.
Tumasiyom, right? A Tumasiyom type thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are we purposely making it Tameh?
It's an excellent question. And the Gemara is going to address that towards the bottom of the Omid. But let's go and address your question right now. And
no, that, I can wait.
No, I don't want to wait. I have no patience. Anyway, the point is that Rashi brings it. It says in the Pasuk twice the word Tohar. Meaning, in the Parshas Chukas, where it talks about Tumas Mes and things of that nature, it says that you want to be Metayer, the person who's Tmei Mes, by using the Parah Aduma ash and mixing it with water and sprinkling it on. So the first Pasuk says, V'lokach Ezoiv V'tovel B'mayim Ish Tohar. A person who's Ish Tohar, he goes and takes Ezoiv. Some people say that that's called hyssop. What's exactly hyssop? They say that's similar to ivy that grows on the outside of a building. It's like you have here on corner 91st Street in West End. Many people even take pictures. They can't believe it. Wow, the ivy is creeping up the side of the building. Presumably if the landlord would remove it, it would strengthen the building. But then the landmark commission would get on its head and say, oh, this ivy has been there already for 2 years. How can you take it off? Anyway, all of that is very important. But the point is, it says, "Lokach ezoy v'tovel b'mayim ishtohar." And ishtohar has to go and be toivel in the mayim of the mechatos and spritz it. And then the pasuk says, "V'hiza hatohar al hatame." Now, why does it have to repeat the word tohar? Obviously, we're talking about the tohar person. V'tovel b'mayim ishtohar. And then the pasuk could have said, "V'hiza al hatame." Why does it have to say, "V'hiza hatohar al hatame"? Because in this, there was a big brouhaha, a big machloikis between Ar Chachamenu Zal, Ar Chazal, and the Tzedoikim. Ar Chachamim said that the word Tor means to tell you even a little bit Tor. Even if he's not big Tor, we already had big Tor, that was the previous passing. Even if it's that, shtickle Tor, that's already enough. While the Tzedoikim went the other way around. They said the fact that it says Torah a second time means to strengthen the resolve that you really got to be Torah with a capital T. So what's the nafkamina between if it's a little bit Torah or a big Torah? The nafkamina is whether or not this individual, if he became Tomei, the sprinkler, if he became Tomei, and he went into a mikvah. Now he's what we call a Tvul Yoim until nightfall, until Harif Shemesh. Can he go and be qualified to go and sprinkle? Ar Chazal said yes. V'hiza hator al hatomi. The word hator comes to include even tor koldu, even though he's not fully 100% tor because he didn't have Harif Shemesh. Yeah. Nevertheless, he can be the sprinkler. And the Tzedoikim said no. It has to be dafka with Harif Shemesh. Now, Parah Aduma doesn't happen every day of the week. It only happens once in many, many years. It's a Gemara, possibly seven times, nine times. Yeah, I got some Isa. Over hundreds and hundreds of years. So there are very, very few of these. So there's not many opportunities to show the Tzedoikim that they're wrong and that we are right. So Chazal really wanted to kind of punch them in the nose, and therefore they said, you know what? Every time we're going to have a new Parah Aduma, and or even that, if I have old ash from last year, or it's stored away, and somebody's going to go and sprinkle it, before he sprinkles it, we're going to be metame that individual, make him tame. We're going to have him go to the mikveh. He's now a real classic bona fide tefillin, and we're going to allow him to go and sprinkle. And all the tzedokim are going to be aghast. How can you do that? You didn't have Erev Shemesh. You tzedokim, you don't know what you're talking about. You should go to heaven. We know the Chazal. This is the Messiah that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu, that the halacha is even Torah culture.
Throw your ashes at him.
Throw your ashes at him. Good. So, bottom line is, that's the reason why, getting back now to Ariel's question, that's the reason why we're metame. We're metame him, we're metame the kli, we're metame everything, and we put it into the mikveh. They're all now tvul yoim, and we're going to use it now, not tonight, and not tomorrow. We're going to use it now to show them that tvul yoim is kosher. Okay, so that's the background of the year. So getting back to that Mishnah. Shishmer shechatoch lechatas. We cut it, now it's, I put the Efer chatas in it. Rebleza oimer, Rebleza said, before you put the chatas in it, then Yipo Miyad, first go and toivel it, and then you can use right afterwards, you know, dry it out, and then go and put in the ash of the Efer chatas, no problem. Rebbe Shua Oimer, first you tame, first go and be metame, make it tame, Miyakach Yipo, and then put it into the mikveh. Okay, so that's the machlokes. Both of them agree you only have to, that you have to toivel it. The question is, do you have to metame it first, or just toivel it the way it is? And now the Gemara has the same type of analysis that we had before. And when we were talking about this Mishnah, we were wondering, who is the one that did the chaticha and cut? Now from here, for the next 6 or 7 or 8 lines, we're kind of the same type of discussion that we had by the Kalim had the Gemara in the Tahara, because the Gemara considers that cutting of the tube of the Shweferis as being a kli that I'm now finally being gomer.
It's a makapapatish type situation.
Fine. Until now it was sealed Shweferis from all sides. If I want to go make an opening to go and put stuff in, I got to go and cut it. So by cutting it now, I'm at the cutting edge of creating now a usable kli. And that being the case, now it's kli hanigmar. Now that it's nigmar, do I have to toivel it? Do I have to be metamid? Pray the mavavinema, the chatoch aman, who cut it for Pete's sake? Ilein be the chatoch chover lamli tvila. Why do you have to have tvila at all? Either contra Blazer or contra Bishua. A chover was in charge. Well, the chatoch amaretz, beholding Rabbi Shua, yitama v'yipal. If an amaretz was the one that was chaytachit, why have to be metamid? Hotami v'koi. Since every amaretz has a chazaka being like a zog, so therefore just by the fact that he touched her, that they spit on it, or whatever happened with, it wasn't nigma b'tahara, it was nigma b'tumah, if he was the cutter. So avadi you have to toivul it. Why do you have to be metamid and toivul it? V'yom rabba b'shila omar amas omishu l'oilam d'chatocha chover. The problem was, the one that Taka did the cutting was a kli and nigma b'tahara, was done through a chover near the chiyid, who knows hilchas tuma b'tahara, no problem. So what's the chash? The chash is that maybe some spittle of the amaret. So again, the gemara d'nofal aim is, when did that spittle occur? Even if you're talking back hours ago, before you cut it, at that point you didn't have a tzedis kli, so it didn't become tamei, nothing happened. After he cut it, I'm sure the chover was very, very careful. After all, this is going to be used for paraduma. That's, you know, that's kurdish kadosh. This is really heavy. Avadi's going to be careful. So what do you have to go and toivel? We have to matam it. We're talking about that. I'm worried that the spittle fell out onto this shveferis before they cut it, and at that time nothing happened because it wasn't the kli. However, maybe half an hour later when they did cut it, Adayin Lachi, maybe that old spittle was still wet. Since it was wet, now it's going to be metame the kli. Okay, so now let's understand the machloek between Rabbi Shua and Rebbe Lezer. In Mishlam Rabbi Shua, what did Rabbi Shua say? Rabbi Shua said, Yitama ve'akach yipa. You know why Rabbi Shua said you should go be metamit? The chayyur, there's no need to be metamit. The chayyur, all you have to do is go and toivel it. Why do you have to metamit? If in fact I'm concerned about this amaret that went by and he spit on it when it was, and the roik is telacha still at this point, so what's the purpose of being metamit? I'll tell you why. Because it not, and this is what we spoke about before. Metamen hoyus a koyin asreif asapara, the koyin who is going to be in charge of the sreif asapara and all the others that were involved in the para process, they will metame him in advance. Why would a metame? Don't you want it to be done with tahara? Because we want to go and teach the tzedokim a lesson. Tzedokim, you're wrong. The tzedokim were frumer, in a sense, in this case, where they said, it's got to be done by Herif Shemesh. And therefore, when we had the kohen, we said to the kohen, tell me, when's the last time you went to the mikveh? I went to the mikveh 10 minutes ago. Were you here for the whole time? Absolutely. That's not enough. Here, according to Rashi, you're taking a dead sheretz. I'm touching you. I become tummy. Yes, go to the mikveh again. Why do I have to go to the mikveh again? Don't ask any questions. Go to the mikveh again. He comes out of the mikveh. Well, now I have to wait until Herif Shemesh. No, you can now go and be certain of Sapporo. You can go and sprinkle the waters. Everything is fine. So I understand now the concept according to Yeshua, how you moitzim aliban by being matamehim and having to go to the mikveh and doing all the avoida right after the mikveh without Herif Shemesh. El Rabbi Lezer, let's understand Rabbi Lezer. Iyam is bishloima bi'alma bi'in Herif Shemesh. If you say normally a regular kli hanigmar b'tahara requires Herif Shemesh, hainadikakir the tzedakim. That I can understand why there's a heker for tzedakim. Meaning, we've learned until now, based on our Gemara, that it said tvila and Herif Shemesh light. That Herif Shemesh, it's all you need to do by killing the Moram B'Tahara is just to toivulam. You don't need Herif Shemesh. Now, if Rebbe Lezer disagrees with that, and he says normally a Kli and Nigma B'Tahara requires Herif Shemesh, how did it get to the Tzedakim? Then I can understand how, according to Rebbe Lezer, I have a heck of Tzedakim. That what? That when I have any other kli that, for instance, I use in the Beis Hamikdash for Kodesh, I have a kli anigma b'tahara, I toivel it, and then we wait until Herif Shemesh to use it. Oh, but in our case, we're saying we're going to use it immediately, right after the tefillah, I'm going to use it for Shpeferis to go and put in the ash. Oh, then I can understand Hekla Tzedakim. No, Herif Shemesh, only Tvilyah. Eliyam is be'almali b'in Herif Shemesh. You're going to tell me that every single time you have a kli hanigma b'tahara that you're going to use for kodesh, what are you going to do? You toivel it and it's usable immediately. So then the same thing happens over this shofaris also. You toivel it and you're going to use immediately. So my account is tzedakim ikar. So how are you going to give that punch, that knockout punch to the tzedakim to show them that they're wrong? Because after all, I'm not distinguishing between the kli hanigma b'tahara for regular kodesh and the kli hanigma b'tahara for here for the case of the Paraduma ash. So what's the heaven going to be? And therefore, the choyre is a raya to what the Gemara said at the outset, that masnisen to loy kiran lezer, that a blezer normally would require Herif Shemesh for kelim anigmar b'tahara. And therefore, the heker over here is that you allow it full yoim kli. But our Mishnah doesn't sound like that. Our Mishnah sounds you only need tefillah and you don't need Herif Shemesh by regular kelim anigmar b'tahara. That's why the Gemara says, L'choy, the Mishnah doesn't go according to Reb Lezer. Omer Ab Mishkarai, the Mishnah could go like Reb Lezer after all, because Asua Kitmei Sheret, they put on this Shweferes other Chumrois, and therefore no longer did people look upon this Kli requiring Tvila, because of the fact that it's Kli Anigma B'Tahara, but they assumed, or at least they upgraded it as if it was Tomei Kitmei Sheretz, and therefore that's the reason why it needed a Tvila, and obviously something which comes Tomei Kitmei Sheretz requires Herif Shemesh. Now you're going to ask me, in which respect did they make it Kitmei Sheretz? So Rashi tells us that they added on Minyan Rishoin Vishen, which means, this is Machlokes exactly what the status of Kli HaNigmar B'Tahara is that requires Mikveh. Some say that it has a din like a Sheni, like Stam Yadayim Shniyoy saying. Some say it has a din of a Shlishi. If it has a din, for instance, of a Shlishi, it can't be Metame anything else because it's already a Shlishi. And by Kodesh, it ends. Well, actually, Shlishi goes to Rabbi. I'm sorry. I only slept last night, about 3 nights. Okay, anyway, so the point is that when you're talking about Tumas Sheretz, not Tumas Sheretz, you're talking about Kelim Gmar B'Tahara, if you're telling me that it happens to be the status of a Sheni or a Shlishi, it's much further down the pecking order, and a lot of things that it can no longer pasul or be Matame, because it's already at the bottom of the
lot. It's 2 weeks.
Very good. Mashinkin, if you say that as a stand of Tumas Sheretz, Ooh, so then the kli itself is like it became tummy through a sheretz. So therefore, it has a din of a rishon. If a rishon can be tummy, even chulin and making tasheni, and of course kal b'chayim to a truma, rishon and a kodesh revi. So therefore, what our Gemara is telling us is they upgraded the degree of tuma by this shvoi feres that it should be as if it touched a sheretz. How did everybody know it's as if it touched a sheretz? It didn't touch a sheretz by the fact that they said, be careful, if it touches anything, it has the status of a rishon, it's going to make a sheni, a tashlishi, a derivi, which normally wouldn't apply if it's just a kli, hanigun batai. Let's look at the top Rashi. Asukim may sheres. Lo'ilam ba'alma lo'i boy herif shemesh. Reb Lezer, the king of the Marvin Tahar. Our Mishnah can go in accordance with Reb Lezer. And every time you have a clean enigma b'tahara that you're toivling the shame kodesh, you do not need herif shemesh. So what was the hecker over here? By the shvei feres, you also don't need herif shemesh. So manish tanim, for the hachi ikakir, the shvei feres, for chatas asu, instead of asan asu, ki ilu nogu b'sheretz, as if this touched the sheretz. Le'inyan minyan rishu m'sheini. Hilkach ilav d'porin nasib t'liyoyim. I would say that this kli anigma b'tahar, this shvei feres, is different than all other kelim anigmar b'tahar, because all other kelim anigmar b'tahar they have a din of a sheni or a shlishi, and therefore it's a much weaker tuma. However, this shvei feres was upgraded; it went to not economy class; they went to first class or business class. It has a din of a rishon. Rishon, of course it has to have Herif Shemesh. Everybody knows it. Somebody becomes Tommy to Mesheretz, to Mr. Velo, and Avadi got to mix and you got away Herif Shemesh. What's the Shaila? Oh, since we're using Shveferis for Chatos, for Poraduma, even though on the one hand we're Machmir on the Shveferis, that it has the status of a Tumas Sheretz, like a Rishon. On the other hand, we said that once you go and toivel it,
you don't need Herif Shemesh.
You don't need Herif Shemesh, you only need Tvulgai. And that is the simon against the Tzedokim to show them you're wrong, Chevra, and even Tvulgai is good. Based on what you just told me now, that this Shvei Feres has a din of a Tumah Sheretz, which means that a din of a Rishon, so like the Tamba Odom, then if I or you are holding on to the Shvei Feres, it shouldn't be Matama us, because we know a Rishon can't be Matame Odom
Mekelim.
Exactly. Allah Matanya, why does it say in the Braisa, the one that is Chotechit, or might be the one that is Matbilikli, both of the Blessed and Meshul hold you have to be Matbilit, both of those individuals, Toh and Tefillah, they themselves are going to have to be Toivah. Why are they going to have to be Toivah? Because they touched this Chod Shvei Feres. And the Shvei Feres had a din of Tumah Sheretz. At Tumah Sheretz, the guy became Tommy. How did he become Tommy?
It's only a Kli Rishon.
It's only a Rishon. Rishon can't come Metame Odom. You're right. Well, that's still into a mess. They went and really upgraded. They didn't go and take it to business class, to first class. It's like Thomas Mass. No, it's Asuk, it's my mess, meaning that we made this Shvei Feres as if it touched a mess. The mess, of course, himself is an Aviyah Voisa Toma, and therefore, if you touch the mess, what happens next to Shvei Feres? It becomes an Avatoma, and Avatoma can be Matami Odom. So therefore, the Choytcha, the one that's cutting it, he became Tommy because he touched an Av Hatoma. And nevertheless, we said, just toilet in the mikveh, and then you're going to have the benefit of using it immediately. It's a chasim and tful yoyim, because it's a card for the chatas, for the poradu. Once you're telling me that we upgraded to first class, that it has a status like to my mess, no, anything that touched the mess, there's a din of shlishi shvi. So it shouldn't be enough just to go and take this Shvei Feres and toivel it, because you have to go and do hazor shlishi shvi.
Ironic, because you're using it for hazor.
Exactly. The whole thing is ironic, because the whole inyan of paraduma is to be matayer, and that's what we say about it. That's matayer to mayim and matami to hoyim. So all of the whole thing is an irony, and that's why it's a big choik. So choik luchas atayer. Anyway, beginning back to Agmar, once you're telling me that it has the chumra of Tumei Sheret, the Tumas Mes, then you should have to have Shlishi Shvi. I love to tell you, why did we go and say, Choytcha, Umad Bila, Toin Tvila, Tvila in, Hazor Shlishi Shvi Eloi. You don't need Hazor Shlishi Shvi, you only have to go and, the Choytcha means the one that was Choytcha, Umad Bila, the one that was Mapu, they require Tvila, but they don't read Hazor Shlishi Shvi. Ella says the Gemara, you have a good point. Ella sua ketumei mes b'shvi shalai. They went and said about this shweferis, it's as if it touched a tumei mes on the seventh day. What means on the seventh day? After the shlishi ushvi, after the hazar shlishi ushvi.
So we're virtually doing hazar on it, as it were, and fast forwarding to the seventh day.
And since it's the seventh day,
you only need tefillah.
What our Gemara is telling us is, what happens to a person who became tumas mes? If he comes tumas mes, everybody knows he has a din of an avatumah. Right. But what happens after the shlishi ushvi passed? It's now on his seventh day. He hasn't had tefillah yet. What status does he have? Our Gemara says he's still an avatum. But this av is different, that because of the fact that it's already after shlishi shvi, it's weakened the status of that tumas mes, that avatuma. The only thing that you need from this point on is tefillah. You don't need shlishi u shvi. And it's svaradik, because after all, if you're telling me a tummy mess on the seventh day after shlishi shvi now touches another person or another kli, l'chayri he can't go and transmit more tumma than he has. The tumma that he had of tumas mess, shlishi shvi has already passed, so he's gotten already hazor paraduma. To go and say that by touching somebody else or touching another kli, that person requires shlishi shvi, he himself doesn't require shlishi shvi because he's been yoytze, he's done it already. So his tumma has already been diluted, if you will, and so therefore that type of diluted tumma doesn't create new shlishi shvi for others, but it is metame others. And that's the reason why that shweferis that has a status like tumas mes on the seventh day, if the choitcha or matbila, someone who touches it, becomes tame. Now, he doesn't require shlishi shvi because of the fact that the tumma of the kli was only a shvi.
Post shvi.
Good. Now that we've come to that conclusion, now everybody is in amazement. They're wondering, wow, this shvi feris has a din like a tumas meis beyond my shvi, and if some person who touches it becomes now tame, and kalim that touch become tame, and all the rest. What is the status of this kli itself, the shvi feris, if I'm going to go and toivel it? Does it require
her shabbos or not?
Normally, of course, her shabbos, tumas meis.
It's all virtual though, Rabbi, it's all legislated. It's not.
And therefore, says our Gemara, even though it is metame ozim v'kelim, as if it was tumas mes on yom hashvi, nevertheless, when I'm toivling now this shvei feres, you do not need erev shamash. You only need tvul yom.
You only need tefillah.
And that means it's a tvul yom. No, you can use it immediately, and that's the case of Rav Lezer. So we ask the Kodesh Rav Lezer. Bottom line is, our Mishnah can be holding that the din of Kelim and the Gemorim B'Tahara only require Tvila, they do not require Herav Shemesh. Aye, so what's the difference between that and between the Shveferis, according to Rebbe Lezer? That Rebbe Lezer says, Yitbol Miyad, and you can use it Miyad. So, Manishtana, how are we going to go and show the Tzedokim they're wrong? Every Kli and Gemorim B'Tahara, you only need Tvila, and it's Mutter B'Tvulyayim, says the Gemara. You're right if you're only talking about a Kli Amigo Matar. But here we're talking about a Shveferis and Paraduma. Shveferis and Paraduma was upgraded, happened to have like a Tumas Mes. What do you mean, we don't have a Tumas Mes? If somebody touches it, a person becomes really a Kli Kimitami Adam? Yes, Kimitami Adam. Wow, I can't believe it. So now I would think that this Kli is so intensely Tame that when I toivel it, it should require Herif Shemesh. Says the Blessed, no, because it's Paraduma. You don't need Herif Shemesh. The Haitzim will even show Sadaikim to tell you that you can use it for Yom, you don't need Herif Shemesh. Okay, very, very Gishmak. Right, Timar. You're telling me now that they upgraded this plain shweferis as if it touched a tmei mess, or touched a mess itself. I have a braisa. They never made any chidushim. This sounds like Eva Chachinish Gadol Mizeh. It's like a
virtual hazaz on this thing, right?
Exactly. The whole 9 yards. Well, I don't understand. Om Rabbaya. Shwe Omru Kordim Mitame Moishev. What is Abaya's answer? So Rashi explains that Abaya's answer is that when we said that we were never machadish a kli or an object that is not susceptible to tumma, they never said it will be makabel tumma nevertheless, even though normal hilchos tumma v'tahara, this particular object, this particular food, this particular X, Chayfetz, whatever it is, normally would not be Mekabel Tuma, because of Paraduma, we didn't go and say, it's Mekabel Tuma after all. However, something that is Mekabel Tuma, to upgrade it from economy class to business class to first class,
it's reading the Parsha.
Exactly right. So, which type of thing are you talking about that is not susceptible to Mekabel Tuma, and you're telling me that the Chomim did not make it Tomei no chidush by part. So says Abai, that's the famous case of Mishka v'Moshe by Medrash. Shle omer kordim metame Moshe. What happens if a person sits down in a kordim? Kordim is either an axe or a hatchet or what do you dig with, a shovel, anything like one of those things. And somebody sat down on it temporarily, and it turned out that that person who sat down on it was a Zav or a Zava, and therefore, oi, Tumas Moshe, and now the din of Tumas Medrash. And the answer, no, it does not have Tumas Medrash, because Tumas Medrash is only by the type of kli, which is Miyuchad Yeshiva, as opposed to that type of kli where you say, Amoid V'Nas Malach Tegen. For instance, if you have a Zover, Zover, etc., sitting on a chair, or sitting on a bed, or lying on a bed, that's normally what you use chairs and beds for. And that's what's called Mishkav and Moishev. However, if the person has a milk crate box, and he'd like to sit on a chair, but there's no chairs left. So he sits on those milk crates. Like you have people sit on that, unfortunately, on Tisha B'Av, Chas V'Shalom and Ovel, things like that. It's not Miyuchad Yeshiva. After you sit down on the milk crate, usually within 5 minutes, the guy comes in and says, hey, listen, get up, I need that milk crate. I have to use it, I have to go and schlep in the milk from place to place to place. Amoid V'Nas Malachtei. So the halacha is, that does not get a Tumas Medrash. Why not? It says in the pasuk, "Vayoshev ala kli asher yeshev olav hazov." The word "asher yeshev" is a very strange term. Should be a yoshev ala kli she yoshev olav hazov, not yeshev. Yeshev is in the future. I don't know if he's going to sit on it or not. So the Gemara says, "Yochel kafasov v'yoshev olav tarkav v'yoshev olav." A saw and a tarkav are both
boxes.
Yeah, but they are both measures. And we don't mean the measure itself. You can't sit on a measure, but we mean a box or a container that has the measurement of a saw or a tarkav. Tarkav is a half of a saw. So I would think that if you took such a box that can hold a saw or a half a saw, and you turn it over, and you sit down on it, yehi tamei, if that person is a zav, that the box should become tamei. Tamei yeshiva kli asher yeshiv olav yitma. Mishem yuchav yeshiva, the type of seat or chair that people use exclusively for sitting. So when you sit down on such a saw or tarkav, eventually the chenveni or somebody is going to come by and say, hey mister, please get up, I need this saw or tarkav to store something, to transport something, to measure something. You know, this is not for sitting down. Get up, I need it. Shelley wants to say something.
We have to think out of the box here.
We got to think out of the box, right? And we have to really give it a lot of thought. We can't just sit down and talk about it. We have to give it intense. Exactly. Anyway, so bottom line is that's what Abaye meant, or that's what the Braisa meant. They never said that a person who sits down, for instance, on a cardon or in a box, that it becomes tummy. Because if it's not susceptible, if it's not
in the Moshav, it's not a royal Kabbal Tumas Medrash.
Exactly. However, if something is royal Kabbal Tumas, like the case of the Shweferis, which is royal Kabbal Tumas, it's a kli after you cut it. So instead of saying that it only has a din of Kevin Mor Betahara, which is only Malas Terabanan, the Chachamim upgraded it, and they said it has a status like a Tumay Mas, we have Shvi Shalai, it's a big Kiddush.
After the Hazash, the second Hazash.
Exactly. It's a big chiddush, but lemais, it's not the type of chiddush that the Braisa was saying, because everybody knows it's susceptible to tumah. All they did was they intensified the degrees and the level.
By legislation.
Very good. So that's the end of that shtickle, and we continue on to the next case in the Mishnah. Hakli mitzar mashav toich lekodesh avaloi letruma. So we already spoke about this in the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. If a person has, for instance, a plate or a bowl, and in it he has ichvais 10 peas in a pod, and they're one right after the other, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then a tummy tick, a person were to touch the first of those peas in the pod or in this kli, so what happens? Okay, so that first one, if the person, for instance, was an avatama, he touches the first pea, it'll become a rishonatama. And that pea will touch the next guy, it'll become a sheni latama. And the next guy will say that, shlishonatama. Fakoyish will become a revilatama. And after that, it ends. And the other six peas in the pod
will remain
tar, and they'll be peaceful, these peas. Because they didn't become tame. Nothing happened. They're peaceful. They're b'shalom. Everything is great. Said the Chacham.
The strongest relationship is between two peas in a pod.
Exactly. So based on that, if the two peas in a pod are in a kli for Kodesh, then they all become tummy. The 10 peas, 100 peas, they all become like one pea.
Even if they're not touching?
Sorry?
Even if
they're not touching. Okay. As long as they're in the same kaf, in the same kli, they all become tummy. I believe the truma, not by truma. By truma,
they're going to be touching.
The only ones that are going to become tummy are the touching ones. I know, Rabbi Weisfeld, it's a very touchy subject, but that's the way it is, and therefore the Rishon will make a sheni, shlishi revi, but that's it. In fact, we're talking about truma, it'll be maximum shlishi, one even be revi. All the others will be tohar legami. Frankly, I'm not immediately. Where did we take this from? I'm across. It's in the passing. Kafachas, asaras, omalek, toiris. This is the passing that we repeat 12 times in parishes. Not so, each one of the Nisim, that each one was minadev to the base of Midrash, kafachas, one large ladle, one large spoon, asaras, full of toiris. Now, why does that say kafachas? The word kaf, by definition, means one. It could have said kaf, asaras, of course, asoi, the kol mashiv, kafachas, the toiris mitzarev, it merges together entire ketoiris and the entire, whatever the contents are in this kafachas. It becomes one, as if it's one entity, the whole thing becomes
one. You touch one, you tell me it all.
Exactly. Right, Dimar, and that's, of course, this posse, kafachas, is talking about Kodesh, not about
Right,
trauma.
Right, because Ktoris is Ktoris.
Exactly. Mosiv Rav Kahana, Hoysiv Rav Akiva, Hasuil Rav Tayyus, Valaboyna, Vahagicholim, Shenogat Vulyoim, the Mikzosi, Posal, that's Kuloi. The Kiva was Moisif, he added. What was he Moisif to? That we'll see in a moment. But he was moist when he said that by Soidus and Ktoidus and Levoin and Gecholim, if a Tvulyoin touched any one of these, even the Mitzase Pasel Kula, the whole thing becomes Pasel or becomes Tameh, depending what level. All becomes Tameh.
It must be, I know,
Shani Shlishi. Fine.
It has to be Kutchin.
Of course we're talking about Kutchin. Beitim of Adrabanani. This halach of Hoysev Rekiva is not min ha-toira, it's min rabbanan. Why do I say min rabbanan?
Hoysev Rekiva.
Mimai, min ektoni reisha. Let's look at the ratio of the Hoysev Rekiva. The Tanakhama says, hey, Reb Shimon ben Beseda, al efer chato shenoga ha-tomeh b'miktosoi, shetimeh yes kuloi. By efer chatos, if a tomeh touched, there were 100 pieces of ash lying together, if I touched one of them, everything, they all become tummy. Now this cannot be min ha-toira based on the pasuk that we said before, because Rashi says that pasuk kaf achas is talking about kochim mizbeach. Eif apor is not in the base of Migdosh.
It's under the shem of the mishkan.
Exactly, shem of the mishkan. In a sense, the Gemara calls it in other places. It doesn't have. I'm sorry.
As a haramishka.
It's not considered to be kochim mizbeach. It's like kochim berakabayis.
Right.
It's not really berakabayis, but it has the same status of kedusha for certain purposes, and therefore that's why you shecht it outside the base of Mikdash. You don't shecht it in the base of Mikdash. So even though you have the pasuk kaf achas, that's only by kochim, by kochim mizbeach, not by paras chatas. So where does Reb Shimon say to say that if you just touch one of them, timeas kulay muzach zayin, that's midrabanan? Ah, and on that hois Rabbi Kiva, I got other cases of the Rabbanans. What are those? The Soyuz with the Kodesh with Lavoyin and the
Kodesh. Which are Kodesh, not in Perek Habayis.
Exactly. So by the fact that it says Ketoni Hois Rabbi Kiva, and the Tanakam is talking about Midrabanan, so then Rabbi Kiva is also talking about Midrabanan. And you just said now that the halacha of the Keli Mitzar Mashav Toicha LeKodesh is Minatoyra. The Zoyfek Reb Chonin, the Minatachad HaPosik HaFachas. Frank Timor and Moser of Kahana, I see from this halacha of Rabbi Kiva that it's Midrabanan and not Minatoyra. And we're talking Shema Kapara. Top of the Yomit with Nitzvah Eli Shiori Mincha. We're talking about that after a person brings a Karmin Chas. You know, other than particular Mincha is like a minchas koyin, a minchas asachim. Your regular standard mincha, you have to take a kmitz and you put that on the mizbeach, and then the shirayim amutal achila to the kehan. So now, to mimakadish the original mincha, you got to go and put it into a kli shartz. Then you go and take from it the kmitz and you put the kmitz all to the kli shartz. But what happens if you have shiori mincha? That's what's left over the kehan to go and eat. And you put that also in a kli. And this is shiori mincha, the araisa. Tzorich likli hakli mitzarfoy. That pasuk that you brought kaf achas asaras omalek ktoiris. If it's the type of item that requires a kli, then min atoyer the kli is mitzarfet. What happens to those things that do not require kli, meaning the shiari mincha, after I was mekadesh the original mincha, and after I lift it out of the mincha, the kmitza, the shiari mincha, I can go and put into a plastic bag. I don't need a kli. I can just spill it out on the table. No kli is required anymore. So that says, our Gemara says, Rish Lakish, Mishabar Kapara, that Minatoyer, there is no din of tziruf kli because it doesn't require a kli. On that, said Rabbi Kiva, Oyter Rabbi Kiva, nevertheless, Midrabanan, Im Nogat Ful Yoyme Mektasoy, Pasal Es Kulay. So Rabban Begad, Avgab Din Tzeruf Kli, Kli Mitzah. Says Gemara, Tenech Soyuz. When you told me the case, after all, Rabbi Kiva says, Soyuz, Midrabanan, Soyuz, Midrabanan, Soyuz, that makes sense. You can say Shiari Mincha doesn't require Kli, right. That's Midrabanan. But Ketoyuz, by definition, the whole Ketoyuz is going to go and be put on the Mizbeah, and therefore the whole Ketoyuz is tzorichlikli, and the same thing requires same thing with godly levoina.
Right.
So ibazois, Mike Lameva, what are you going to say about over there?
They're not part of shiori mincha; they're part of the achilas mizbeach.
It does require kli. So why does Rabbi Kiva is hoisim which mach midrabanan? It's already minatoyim. Going to tovran al gabi kartavla. It's talking about that originally when he had the ketoyus, he didn't put it into your normal standard kli. He put it into a kartavla. What is a kartavla? Says Rashi. Or sholuk, that's the fifth line of Rashi.
Yes.
Or sholuk means, or of course means leather, and sholuk means that it was cooked. And what's the point? It's a flat kli, it does not have a base kibble. It doesn't have a base kibble. So said Rabbi Avuk, why? Because we learn from the kaf achas. Kaf is a ladle, that's a kaf by definition, that's a great kibble. But the katavla ain't loy toich, ain't a mitzarif, and therefore it's not mitzarif. The Yosef Rabban of Etikno, and the Rabbani came along and said, the Abgav Ben Atoich Mitzarev. Oh, so therefore that's the answer to Rabbi Kiva. The halacha taka is that Min HaToyra, Rab Chanin says, Kaf Achas, Sar Zomayka Toyra, Sat Kosem Asoy, Lekol Mashem Kaf Achas. What was Rabbi Kiva Moisev? Is Moisev in the case where I don't have a kli, the Torah doesn't require a kli, or even the Torah requires a kli, but it doesn't have to be a kli, sheesh, by Torah, it can be even a flat kli.
Because it's never going to have a toch, it's never going to have a toch, it's not in the parsha of a toch.
Exactly.
It's always going to be flat.
Beautiful. So in those cases, in Rekila, the Rabbanon added, Rabbanon is fine, Rabbanon Taka says the case of our mission is Menatoya, and Rabbi Kiva says that it's Midrabanan, not that Rabbi Kiva is arguing with Rabbanon, Rabbanon is an Amoira, but Rabbi Kiva is not arguing, rather, Rabbi Kiva tells us that where you don't need a kli, but you have a kli, like in the case of the Shiari Mincha, or the case where you have a flat kli, which doesn't have a toich, which is not a kaf, that's not Menatoya, that's Midrabanan. We just finished until the two dots. Well, please, Reb Chanan ad Reb Chiva Rabba. That Reb Chanan said that it's min ha-toira, argues Reb Chiva Rabba. Jem Reb Chiva Rabba, Omer B'yoichan ha-meidus ha-shar, Reb Chiva Nishas Mishas Uf. Our Mishnah that we just learned here in Masechtas Chagiga, that the Kaf Achas, or the Kli Mitzar, Mashav Toich ha-le-Kodesh, you know where, who said that? That's based on Reb Chiva. That's Reb Chiva, which we just learned. Hoyis Reb Chiva, Asayid Vaktayid, Vavayid, Vavayid, Shenog Vatvul Yem Miktasim, Pasal Eskulay. Rabbi Kiva is talking about Rabbana. He's not talking about Torah. So Rabbi Kiva Bar Abba holds, or Rabbi Yochanan holds, that our Mishnah is a derivative of Rabbi Kiva. And since you agree that Rabbi Kiva is talking about Rabbana, so our Mishnah is also talking about Rabbana, and not like Rabbi Chanan that says that our Mishnah is based on a pasuk in the Torah, Kaf Achas, according to Rabbi Yochanan.
It's a chumra de Rabbana.
It's totally a malad Rabbana, having nothing to do with a dear Haisa.
I was surprised.